Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to this edition of our English feature program. I'm Philippa Hitchin. Coming up in just a moment, Christians in the Gaza Strip prepare to celebrate the birth of the Saviour in increasingly difficult circumstances. And life on the inside. A volunteer in Rome's Rebibbia prison complex shares her unique experience of celebrating Christmas behind bars. With Christmas just 1 week away, our thoughts turn once again to the Holy Land, in particular to those Christians, an increasingly small community, who are preparing to celebrate Christ's birth in the land where he was born and lived and carried out his earthly ministry. But 2,000 years on, the Holy Land remains a land of conflict and suffering. Just over a year ago, the Annapolis Peace Conference marked a renewed attempt to pave the way for a negotiated settlement between Israel and the Palestinian territories. Yet today, tensions are still running high, with regular outbreaks of violence and no signs of any real progress towards a permanent peace in the region. In the Gaza Strip in particular, Israel's blockade, aimed at stopping attacks by Palestinian militants, is causing increasing misery and malnutrition for thousands of ordinary families.
We are facing a very hard time. We are living in despair, and we should announce hope in this time.
Father Manuel Musalam is parish priest to the only Catholic community in Gaza, which will be attempting to celebrate Christmas this year amidst increasingly desperate circumstances. Yet Christmas, as he reminds us, is a time of hope.
First of all, I should send to the world from Gaza the message of peace. Gloria in excelsis Deo, et in terra pax hominibus bone voluntatis. Peace be with you from Gaza. In Gaza this year, we are living a darkness, a lack of water, lack of electricity, lack of food. We are under siege. The people is suffering. In the school, we hadn't the possibility till now to dress the tree of Christmas and to decorate it because we haven't the necessary materials in Gaza. Everything is impeded to enter in Gaza, so we haven't the lamps, the decorations. We haven't the small trees we use to dress in each room of the classes and in the community, in the houses of the community. So we have children will not have this year chocolates. They will not have, for sure, new gifts and new clothes and new dresses for Christmas, because they will not have, they cannot find it in Gaza first. Then second, the parents who are without work since years are not able to buy anything for the children. They economize everything only to survive in Gaza. The siege is very, very, very strict and very hard on the people of Gaza. And I should declare here that it is a crime of war committed against the people of Palestine, because the people of Palestine is not Hamas, is not violent, is not terrorist. The people, most of the people are innocents, and people who need to be protected and have the right to be protected during conflicts found themselves without any protection in this time. Because of that, our work, main work, is spiritual. As a priest and as a Catholic school, we have two schools with 1,100 students, and most of them are Muslims, for sure, but the small community in the school, we are around 140 Christians among 1,100 people. And the community of Gaza, the Christians in Gaza, are around 3,500. Most of them are Greeks, so they haven't in this time their festivities. They haven't Christmas these days. the small community, the Catholic community, we are around 200 persons only. So our work, our main work is with the children of the school and the small community. First of all, we have the novena, and we preach. We began to preach Christmas and the festivities since 1 month. And we continue each day to preach around them, to gather the people in the church with this emblem, with this title. The church, once it is in difficulty, she prays. Let us pray for Gaza. This is what we are doing.
Thanks there to Father Manuel Moussalam, parish priest to the only Catholic community in the Gaza Strip. Back here in Rome, meanwhile, the streets are packed full of shoppers who, despite the economic downturn, are busy stocking up on food and drink, cards and presents to share with families and friends over the coming week. But in the midst of the festive frenzy, it's important to remember those who have little to celebrate at this time of year, those who have no family or friends around them, those whom we prefer to keep out of sight and out of mind.
I think right now, especially with the media, or the way it was before, with the constant hammering on security here in Italy and in Rome and crime, etc., people have become very afraid, and they immediately see the prison as a place to put away all the things that give them fear.
Maria Ponce de Leon is a professor of Italian studies who dedicates much of her spare time to working as a volunteer in the Rebibbia jail complex in the eastern suburbs of Rome. She told me how she became involved with this work and about the special Christmas celebration she shares each year with those inside the prison.
Actually, I got started because my dissertation for my doctorate was about prison literature in Italy in the 20th century. And after having done all the research, one bright day, the pastor from my parish came to bless my house, and he saw all my papers all over the apartment, actually. And he said, "What is all this?" I said, "It's my dissertation." And he said, "What's it about?" And I said, "Oh, it's about prison literature." And he said, "Well, wouldn't you like to do some volunteer work in prison?" I said, "Well, you know, actually, I would." So he gave me the phone number of the Vic Caritas, which is Volontari in Carcere, Volunteers in Prison. And I contacted them, and I took the course because they give a yearly course which starts in October, and it prepares you for the type of work you do in prison. And after I finished the course in 1998, I started doing my volunteer work at Rebibbia Prison.
So you've been there for 10 years,
yes,
providing this kind,
yes,
of work. Tell us a bit about what you do exactly, what kind of work you're,
okay,
doing there.
Well, first of all, Rebibbia is four prisons. Most people don't know that. Rebibbia is the name of the neighborhood, and it has four prisons. It has the women's prison, which is the largest prison in Italy, a female prison. You have the Nuovo Complesso, which is about 1,600 people. You have the Reclusione, which is a smaller prison of about 250 people that have definitive sentences.
So long-term.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you have a very small prison. It's called the Terza Casa, the third house, which is for drug addicts who are preparing themselves to go to communities to be...
Rehabilitation,
exactly,
programs.
Exactly, exactly. And so what we do there is, in each one of these institutions, we have a group of volunteers. For example, right now I'm at the Nuovo Complesso, which is the large one, and we have about 50 volunteers who give their time practically every day of the week, 7 days a week. And what we do is we meet individually with the people who are living there. We try to accompany them for this part of their life in whatever they need, because we have many foreigners who come who have no clothing, no money, nothing. So we try to provide clothing, and the Caritas helps us very much with that. Then we also try to make contacts with the families, because lots of families, it's not easy for them to contact their families, because by telephone, they're allowed, I believe, 6 telephone calls a month and it's like a 10-minute call. So to keep your family relations, it's not very indicative. And so when there's need, we'll call the family and say the person's fine. Come and visit the person for their for the colloquio, which is their meeting day, etc. And then perhaps contacting lawyers, contacting the judges when it's necessary, contacting the various workers in the prison, because with 1,600 people in the prison, there is a shortage of workers there, and so they don't exactly know everything that's going on, whereas we go into the sections and we have contact with the people. So if there's a case which really needs to be worked with, then we try to contact them and let them know.
So a very practical ministry.
Yeah. Also, no, then the fourth and probably the most important of all of these is the actual meeting with the person and speaking with the person and sharing almost a weekly meeting with the person and just talking and opening up, because there are many people that may start with their request for clothes, but after 3 or 4 months, there's a friendship, I have to say, a real friendship starts in this situation. As I said, right now, there is a high number of foreigners, and so, for example, because of the fact that I speak various languages, I'm trying to work mostly with people of other languages. So with English, with French, I'm learning Arabic also. And so I try to deal with them on a one-to-one basis with the language. The conversations are everything. They're everything. The stories of their lives, the stories of the suffering inside. Most of them, I have to say, are very willing to admit the mistakes they made and realize the need to pay for it. But the thing that we have to realize also is that a person can't be labeled for what they did, because each and every one of us is capable of doing something that we're going to regret at another point in our life.
You say a lot of these people are foreigners at the moment.
Yeah.
What kind of crimes mostly would the people you're dealing with be in for?
There's a lot of drug trafficking, crimes having to do with drugs, because many of these people, a lot of them are clandestine immigrants also, and they can't find jobs, and the only way to make money is to deal drugs. And so I would say there's a lot of drug-related crime. Then there are a few for, you know, robbery and theft and things like that, usually basic survival type of things. In prison, you find poor people, because the people who have money pay lawyers. You also find mentally ill. You also find elderly. You find the homeless. You find everybody that nobody wants out in on the streets.
Do you sense a feeling of injustice amongst the people there? Do they feel that they've been wronged somehow by society?
No. For the most part, there's a dignity about most of the people I deal with. No, it's a question of destiny. It's a question of having, especially for the foreigners, having come to Italy, looking for a better life from which they came from, because they come from absolute poverty and unable to find it. And many of them have educations. They have college degrees, university degrees, but unable to find a way to insert into the society, and especially now with the legislation that exists, it's very difficult. So, no, I wouldn't say that there is that. Perhaps in the justice system, the way it is set up at the moment, because it is very slow, cases get lost. Things don't happen very quickly.
You say people are coming from different countries. Mm-hmm. Where would the majority be from? Is there a changing pattern that you've seen over these 10 years?
All right. I would say quite a few come from various countries in Africa and North Africa. We have quite a large population from Romania. In fact, that kind of took over. That was the Albanians before that. And then you have various assorted from different countries in Europe itself, one or two from the United States. South Americans. That is decreasing, though. There used to be quite a few from Colombia and other countries that also were involved in drug trafficking. But that seems to be diminishing a bit.
And the Italians themselves?
Oh, yes. But those are the regulars. The Italians, they're from all over the country. And many have to do with drug crimes. And also, there are quite a few drug addicts. It's a very high percentage of the prisoners.
And what kind of care is available for them, professional care for their problems, to try and get them off the drugs?
Okay, within the prison itself, there's a CERT, which is the organization which deals with drug addicts. So for the most part, they are given methadone to work their way off of heroin if they're on heroin. And there are visits. There is the internal infirmary and doctors and nurses, etc. It's not enough, though. It's not enough. There's too many people and not enough.
What about conditions more generally? I mean, are there a reasonable standard of living there, or are people really surviving in very difficult conditions?
The Bibbia Nuovo Complesso, where I am, I've worked in all four prisons, okay? But where I am right now, there is overcrowding. The cells, perhaps that are made for two, have four people in them. Jobs are very limited. And as you know, working is a very important thing for a person. And when there is no work, then what do? They stay in the cell with other three people, or sometimes there are six people, or sometimes they're in the large rooms, which are called cameroni, which can be up to 12 people. And with one television, everybody says, oh, they have a television there. Well, the television at a certain point is not the answer to the problem. It can be the creation of problems, because when you have various people with different interests and things like that, you don't find a point of a meeting point. The condition, as I said, of Rabibia is probably better than a lot of other prisons. A lot of other prisons are buildings which are very old. They're old monasteries and convents, which have not been restored, where there is leakage, especially the ones that are, for example, on some of the islands or in southern Italy, where the tide comes in to the ground floor. I've heard horror stories of other prisons.
Do you have problems of suicides and
yes.
a lot of violence in the prison,
No,
for example?
Violence, no. Violence is, I think it's a stereotype from American films. It's not the way we imagine it in the films. There is quite a bit of suicide. A lot of times suicide happens in the first incarceration, very soon afterwards, because it's very difficult to deal with. Last year, I don't even remember the numbers, but it was practically every month there was one.
Very difficult for the other prisoners to deal, perhaps, with these kind of cases, too.
Yeah. Last year, we also had one of the agents of the penitentiary police who commit suicide. They also, nobody ever thinks about them, they also have a very difficult life because they're underpaid, they have a lot of responsibility, and it's not easy. It's not easy.
Would there be a typical profile of a person who does commit suicide, who can't cope with conditions? Would they be younger people particularly?
No, there's no set pattern for this at all. I've known very young, I've known elderly, I've known middle-aged. In fact, in the one section where I work, what we try to do is to meet every single person as soon as he arrives to that section. And we try to see what kind of condition he is and if he's depressed, etc., so that way we can contact the psychiatrist or the psychologist and to try and give whatever support is necessary to avoid this, because there have been too many suicides.
This must be very difficult work for you at a very personal level, isn't it?
I have to say no. It kind of comes naturally. As I said, it's 10 years now, and I can't imagine my life without it. I have met some fantastic people, some people that I'm very close to, that we have become friends. They have finished their time there, and we are still friends. And as I said before, you can't label people for what they did, and there has to be hope. And for me, this is a very Christian thing. I have to say it was a renewal of my faith working in prison, because meeting with people who did horrendous things and seeing the person able to pick up the pieces of their life and try to construct a new life and to realize the evil they did, for me is the confirmation of what our faith is about.
Do you have connection with the church there? Do you find people looking for spiritual counseling and guidance?
Okay,
as well?
First of all, we are Vic Caritas, so we do carry the Caritas message of the church. And we work very closely with the three chaplains in Nuovo Complesso. And what is also very nice there, it's a very center part of the life there, is the Mass and the religious and catechism teaching for the people who want it. We have Sunday Mass every Sunday, and sometimes it's with all the sections, and sometimes it's divided one section at a time in order to allow more people to come. And then in each section, they also have their own chapel with their own volunteer priest who comes every week, and so they do have this access to Mass, to confession, to spiritual counseling. Another thing that it's innovative is that our chaplains created a position called sacristans, which, as we know, as we have in the church outside, but in the inside, which is various prisoners from various sections of the prison who, first of all, help in the religious celebrations. They prepare the altar. They prepare the vestments for the priests. They help with the readings. They choose other readers among the prisoners. So they help in the actual celebration. But another part, which is very important for us, is they keep their eye on the whole section and let us know who is in need. And we found that to be a very good position for them because it gives them responsibility and awareness, and it really allows them to go forward in their own lives.
A real sense of worth, yes. Of self-esteem.
Yes. We also have some of our volunteers, because each of us has our own identity and what we can give to people. We have some of our volunteers who are very involved in catechism, and so they come every week and they do catechism classes with the people who want it. There are many of the people in prison that have been baptized and decide afterwards that they want to receive confirmation or communion, etc. So it's a very important thing. And one point which is beautiful also, our main church is called La Chiesa di Padre Nostro. It's dedicated to Our Father. And all the religions come to our masses. In fact, I have a whole group of Muslims who come to Mass every Sunday with me, and because they feel that they can come there and pray and that we are all praying to the same God.
There's no sense of trying to be proselytized.
Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. And in fact, when it was Ramadan, an imam came and they did the whole prayer celebration for them. It's a very open ecumenical situation. And actually, I have to say, the Mass there for me is an incredible experience. I go there every Sunday. It's become my parish at this point. And we're very lucky because we do have some of the prelates who come to say Mass. For example, we had the new vicar of Rome who came a few weeks ago. He volunteered to come. It was his idea. And also at Christmas, Monsignor Enzo Dieci will be coming. He usually comes on the special holidays to give Mass.
You have a very special ministry, don't you, at Christmas time? A time,
yes,
when perhaps it's hardest of all to be in prison, be without
terrible,
family.
It's a terrible time because they're away from their families, and, you know, on the television they see everything that's going on. So I have to say that our chaplains have done a lot. For example, each one of the sections is given materials and they construct the crib, and then there is a competition with a whole jury which goes around to judge it, so everybody is very busy doing that. And then also, between Sant'Egidio and the Caritas, the Vic Caritas, we get food from the Banco Alimentari, and we try to distribute at least some pasta, coffee, parmigiano, and other things that might be necessary.
Basic food.
Yes, and we try to and panettone and torrone, which are the Christmas, you know, delicacies here, and we try to distribute them to every single person in prison. And then in the other prison of Rebibbia, the Reclusione, since it is a smaller prison, they do organize a lunch for all the prisoners. We organize the lunch for all the prisoners, where everybody sits together, because normally they don't eat together. Everyone eats in their cells. And there is food which is passed by the prison, but you can also cook in your cell with a camping
gas.
Yes. And so they have some of the best meals I've had have been cooked on those little camping gas things.
But on Christmas Day, then, it's an important moment of communion,
yes,
for everybody,
yes,
to be together, a moment of community.
Yes. They usually alternate. One year they do the Mass at Christmas Eve. One year they do the Mass on Christmas Day. This year it's on Christmas Day. And what happens is they allow as many people as possible from the various sections of the prison to be present. But also there are quite a few outsiders who come. For example, as many volunteers as possible attend. I usually bring my in-laws, my son. It's a family affair.
And a very special moment, I imagine.
It is.
It can't be like celebrating Christmas anywhere else.
No,
at all.
It is the most beautiful Mass. As I said, Sunday Mass in itself is a beautiful experience. But on Christmas, it makes me have goosebumps when I think about it.
What about those who don't have family, who don't have anybody really to support them, for whom you are the only real contact with the outside world? I imagine you must meet people like that too, don't you?
They're the majority, I would say. The majority, especially, as I said, the foreigners. There are a lot of people that have no one. Well, there's a lot of Italians also that have no one. That's where we do try to be more present for them. And in fact, even the packages of clothes which we send, if a person has a family that comes and visits them, or if the person works, then we don't give them, because obviously we have very limited funds. Anything we have is from donations. You know, we have to buy underwear, and we have to buy socks and pajamas and things like that. And it's all with our own self-funding. And we try to be close to these people also spiritually and psychologically and in any way possible.
How do you find the attitudes of people in society at large? What reactions do people have to the kind of work you're doing?
Most people don't understand, because they have an idea of what prison is that perhaps isn't the reality. I think right now, especially with the media, or the way it was before, with the constant hammering on security here in Italy and in Rome and crime, etc., people have become very afraid, and they immediately see the prison as a place to put away all the things that give them fear. But that's not the solution, because the thing that's important and that people should, and in fact, probably we would have more work, volunteer work to do on the outside of prison than on the inside, is to show people the importance of accompanying people that have made a mistake. Because when they do finish, to go back into a society that doesn't want them, doesn't help them, then what do they do? They go right back to doing what they had to do. If you have a society that is welcoming, helpful, it's obvious. If you can find something that you can do in your life to support yourself, you're not going to go back to that life. Yeah, maybe there's a small percentage of people that just do it because they're mentally directed in that, you know, they like the challenge of crime. But there are very few of those people, very few.
Is there very much in terms of rehabilitation support once people do finish their sentences?
Not enough at all. We try to do what we can, but even we can't handle it, because there's so much to do inside that everyone who leaves that we followed, we can't keep contact with everyone. And for example, we also have it's called a Casa di Accoglienza, which is a house which we, an apartment actually, which we have available for people that are allowed to come out on permesso. It's when you have done a certain part of your sentence and you've been observed by all the workers in the prison, you know, the educatore, the psychologist, etc., etc., and they deem your behavior to be good and that perhaps you are making progress, etc., then the judge will give you 2 or 3 days where you can leave the prison. If you have a home, you go home to your family. You spend that time with your family, and then you go back to prison. And then every 45 days, if things go well, then you are allowed to do this again. This is supposed to be a way of gradually easing your way back into society. Well, unfortunately, foreigners, for the most part, don't have families here, and so they don't have this possibility. Therefore, having this Casa di Accoglienza, they are able to ask for a permesso, and they can come and spend 2 or 3 days at our house, and, you know, try and come back into society. There are also many Italians, too.
So these are volunteers, again, running this welcoming center, day center, isn't
no,
it?
No, they sleep there. It's an actual apartment. It sleeps about 10 people with a kitchen, and there is a person there who is responsible, etc., and it's under police control. The police can come at any moment to make sure the person is there. But it's a way of making contact with the world again, because what most people don't understand is that when you're deprived of your freedom and you're closed into a room which is about the size of this little room we're in right now, you lose everything. You're not used to seeing a horizon. Many people, when they come out, suffer from terrible dizzy spells, fainting spells, nausea. They're not used to the pollution. They're not used to the noise. They're not used to anything. It's very traumatic.
And my thanks there to Professor Maria Poncia De Leon, who works as a volunteer inside Rome's Rebibbia jail complex. And that's all from me, Philippa Hitchin, and from all of us here at the English Programme for today. Join us again at this same time tomorrow. For now, stay tuned to Vatican Radio. Laudato Jesus Christus.